now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have an old friend, Evie Lorgan, joins us on the Cosmic Switchboard Show to talk about a variety of issues. Lorgan's website information will be on our dedicated website and YouTube channel. And so without any further ado, Eve Lorgan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Well, hello, James. It's always good to talk to you because, you know, we're old friends and researchers who've been around for like over 30 years of, you know, like working together off and on. So I always look forward to talking to you so we could really talk about whatever you want and all kinds of relevant things come up. And we're just going to make this one a spontaneous one. Although, you know, I've had some ideas, you know, like what has been on my mind lately, and let's say in August 2020, since we don't know how long this will be going on, but, you know, people going a bit crazy and their psychological issues exacerbating with the increased stress of the lockdown and the rights being taken away and the economic duress of people being, you know, losing their businesses, going homeless, going hungry, not getting medical care. These kinds of things are happening. But one of the things that I have noticed in my own work with clients and research with especially anomalous trauma and the whole narcissistic abuse syndrome, which is very relevant to what I'm calling the false twin flame syndrome, as well as some parts of the whole dark Cupid alien love bite thing. And really what it was coming down to is a type of, what I'm seeing is the missing link to spiritual discernment through certain kinds of psychological issues and the lack of emotional intelligence that many people who have, let's say, certain traumatic stress disorders or maladaptive behavior patterns because they've been traumatized over time through mind control programming, or they've been in families where they had narcissistic abuse or alcoholism or sexual abuse or any number of things like that. And I find it almost disconcerting at, you know, there's a simplicity in some forms of emotional intelligence when your heart is present and when you're connected to your spirit and your heart and what I say is the quality of essential goodness. The essential goodness of wanting to do the right thing or wanting to employ like the golden rule. And that in some people it is absent. It's just plain absent. And I'm seeing personality disorders manifested more prominently that what I think is a supernatural infection of basically, you know, we can call it demonic hosting or entity hosting or organic portals, but with narcissistic personality disorder in particular is prone to what I call entity attachments and infections. And what I see as there's a lot of people who have like a lack of spiritual discernment, which is really unfortunate to actually perceive this as a threat to your own survival and then be able to deal with it immediately before it becomes like a huge problem in your life or in a larger perspective, even in your community or in a school or in a business or in a body of politics or in the world, in the country. And that there's this huge vacancy, which is like a lack of discernment, as if it's a missing link of spiritual discernment that has been deleted from the program of human consciousness and narratives that are being told to us. So, and maybe I'll just pause for a minute and see what you have to say about that in terms of your own observations of, you know, what's exacerbating right now at this point in history, but what you have noticed as well in your own work and in your own life with especially, you know, clients and research and witness testimonies of people who've had significant forms of trauma, and especially the more weird stuff with the MyLabs and the UFO reports and the targeting and the, you know, military intelligence kinds of stuff.
From a broad collective standpoint, let's say, looking out in the society, I'm seeing a lot of people basically lose their shit. Pardon my Anunnaki. We're seeing videos and hearing accounts of people violently setting upon the unmaskers, the non-maskers, right? Because a lot of these people that wear the masks that are have been frightened into this reptilian part of their brain, as a means to retain some semblance of control, they've turned into the thought police. They've turned into the shamers. They've turned into the shriekers and pointers, unmasked, right? So we're seeing that on a broad scale. And these controllers of this planet, because it's a planetary problem and it's non-human in origin, as you know, Evie, they thoroughly understand human psychology, especially mass psychology. Barbara Bartholik used to always say these aliens and reptilians know us molecule by molecule. And certainly they've played a key role in the genetic engineering, if you will, of our neurology, right? And so by shunting us into this reptilian lizard part of our brain of fight or flight, a lot of people that were barely hanging on to some semblance of sanity, of normalcy, this has tipped them over the edge. And there are varying degrees of that. Some, like I said, are basically freaked out and are attacking people that don't wear masks and pointing and shaming at them and getting very verbally abusive to complete strangers. Such a strange spectacle, too, when you see someone with a mask getting in someone else's face and screaming, and very weird, very eyes wide shut on a collective level. And then you have those who their default setting is obedience, acquiescence to authoritarianism. So these are people that are unquestioning. This is the masses of people now. They're just waiting for the vaccine to roll out. They're just waiting for their next directive to be told what to do. And the way the media plays the dissenters, the non-maskers, the people who raise legitimate questions about all this, they're instantly demonized by the media, by social media, by the Twitterverse, and now increasingly by all these people that just acquiesce and go along with whatever the consensus narrative is. Now, we know that alien abductees, UFO researchers, people who report UFO, ET craft, for decades now, we're the first, in my view. We were the first to be demonized, to be ridiculed, to be mocked for speaking out about what we know to be the truth. In fact, as we know, there was a concerted government, corporate media effort, academic effort to debunk us, to make us look crazy, to ridicule us. Now, that tactic has been spread across the board. Anyone who questions any consensus narrative, the whole system of control just unleashes in that person's direction. Any academic who speaks out, they're going to lose their jobs. Anyone, it's such a control system. So I just wanted to get that point out because that's the backdrop. Now, for those of us that have gone through the anomalous trauma, gone through the experiences of alien encounters and military abductions, small sample size to be sure. I've only talked to so many people in the recent past. There seems to be an uptick in activity. I think part of it, Evie, is that maybe as a coping mechanism, Candy Turner talked about this years ago, that as a necessary prerequisite to coping and dealing with all these challenges that we'll be facing in the future, some of us will be developing these enhanced means of staying centered, staying balanced, being more intuitively aware of our surroundings. So I think what's happening also is those who already have this enhanced awareness and the ability to see in other dimensions and other realms, I think they're noticing more things. I think they're seeing, you know, what we're seeing play out on the surface level. The backdrop to that is just all this archontic, loosh-generating, parasitic activity playing through all these organic portals, the news presenters, the politicians, etc. And those people that still have that inner navigation, that intuitive navigation, they know something is seriously, seriously wrong. They may not know all the details or have a lot of understanding about the greater conspiracies behind all this, but they know something is dreadfully wrong. Whereas in contrast to that, the masses that are just hoodwinked by all this, mesmerized, they've become a force multiplier for the system. They've become the thought police. And instead of the sheepdogs, instead of the sheeple, they've turned into the sheepdogs. And anyway, that's my thoughts.
No, very good point. One of the points you brought up was, you know, in our own histories of doing, you know, alien abduction research and, you know, Dr. Carla Turner and Barbara Bartholik and what we learned even back then in our own experiences that we talked about for years in the early support groups and in my books and even relatively recently about the MyLab experience, the alien abduction experience, and how many of us have been used as canaries in the coal mine test populations, probably for some forms of research, experimentation, and training in some projects, which there, I think there's many different projects going on, and they're not all, it's not all black and white, but it's as if, you know, because of what we've been through, we're able to recognize, you know, for example, when you've got a stage managed dream, for example, or a virtual reality scenario, or when your mind is being linked up to something artificial, you know what it feels like, and you know how, for example, they try to do a perceptual overlay to make you think something else or believe something else, but you know on an intuitive, deeper awareness level that this is artificial, there's something wrong about this, this is not right, this is externally generated in some way. And so at least we know how it kind of began and how I think they did a lot of the earlier experimentations and streamlining of this technologies on the alien abductee population and many in these MKUltra projects, as well as the secret space program. But interesting thing enough, just recently, I like to watch on Netflix or different kinds of entertainment where they're adopting things that are actually true and they're putting them into, you know, TV shows and that kind of thing. So even like the Umbrella Academy, they came out with a season two where it's a set of kids, I think seven, and a father figure who adopted them because they had all these unique abilities and different capacities. And he, quote, trained them, but it was really more like, you know, anybody who knows been involved would be like MKUltra. But on TV, they don't show the bad part of it. They'll show some bad parts, but they won't, you know, show the whole thing. But the whole idea is that this, these special kids were trained by this father figure with the umbrella, who's kind of like this shady character who was like one of the unknown men in Majestic 12, you know, and how he was kind of evil, but it turned out that there's good and evil at the same time with this special group of kids who grew up to have all these abilities, and they're jumping timelines now. And they're trying to actually prevent the apocalypse, or they just discovered they had these abilities. So it's kind of interesting how these things are coming out now in many of these shows, to as if they're trying to tell us that, yes, there's these things going on and it's not so black and white, that there are many who have a sense of what's going on behind the scenes, behind the dog and pony show of the political angle and even the pandemic angle of what's going on, that there's much more going on a demonic level. I could tell you that because of just direct observation with what clients are coming to tell me about, and synchronistic things, which I found were actually ironic and almost funny, but actually true in the news. And I think it was last week, where there was a press conference of a bunch of doctors who supposedly came forward to give their take on their work with clients, patients with COVID, and how they, you know, basically assessed that, you know, the hydroxychloroquine and this and that and the other was very helpful in preventative and helping to treat people effectively. So anyway, one of the doctors is a Black woman from, I think, who trained in Nigeria. She has a very strong accent. Her name is Dr. Stella Emmanuel. And I think if I remember correctly, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but last Monday, Trump came and visited North Carolina to go to a biotech company that's probably working on vaccines or some kind of proposition for a vaccine. And I don't know how that went personally in terms of like, oh, how soon or how effective or successful that would be. But why was it the next day, this post that I think was put up by his son, by Trump Jr., that had to do with this panel of doctors, but in particular, this Stella Emmanuel, right? And so, you know, the front of the message is, you know, the whole thing about hydroxychloroquine and reasserting that, you know, this is a pretty good option, an alternative and preventative that's cheap and effective, and we can do it right now, and let's take the focus off vaccines. But what I saw, because somebody sent this to me in an email, and I had no idea that they did some research on Dr. Stella Emanuel, and she is a Christian minister, and she has videos from, you know, 2013 to whatever until now of, she's like this hardcore deliverance minister, and she does all these prayers and knows all about like reptilian hybrids. And then she had one video that someone sent me. She said, you got to hear this. It's just like the alien love bite. And it was about what she called spirit husbands and spirit wives, which is similar to the incubus, succubus, and the other types of, well, we can say sexual, demonic, vampiric entities that will, you know, invade your dream, the astral rapes or the sexual thing where, you know, it may be like this false twin flame, but it's much more powerful because you have a very, very powerful entity involved, which she went on to explain that when there's these like super powerful ones and they may run in families and they can create all these problems for women, like false pregnancies and fibroids and gynecological problems, which is like classic alien abductee female gynecological problems, by the way. But she was talking about how in her study biblically and what she found out with deliverance ministry, that the original watchers, which is in the Bible, of course, which were the fallen angels, if I understand this correctly, then they came down and intermarried with the original humans and then created the hybrid race, which became the Nephilim and the giants, who became corrupted. And, you know, they started being cannibalistic and they created all this corruption and mayhem and humanity. They have been doing this ever since. And so after the flood or whatever, then the giants died, and some 200 of them are the ones whose spirits are lurking around the earth and the astral realm, and they're doing the same thing. So they're the ones who are like doing these false twin flame things, and it's like really messing with people and totally, you know, throwing them for a loop. You know, they do the shape-shifting act. We know how the reptilians do that anyway. So it's the same kind of operation going on. And I was actually floored when I saw her video, because I'm like, yeah, it's actually right on. But, you know, everything was in her perspective of the Christian deliverance ministry, but she knew her stuff in terms of like the specifics of what not only the men but the women had reported in these, you know, astral dream things and the spirit husbands and wives, and how their marriages would be interrupted, or they could never get pregnant, or maybe false pregnancies, or all kinds of gynecological problems, and how these things were in the bloodline, like generational curses from, you know, like the Freemason thing and, you know, any kind of black magic or certain kinds of sorceries and blood oaths over the generations will manifest. Even if it's, you're not practicing it, you can become a victim of it, and these kinds of things will occur to you, and you have no idea. Like, so many people are coming and they think it's their twin flame, and it's just this whole thing, you know? So I was floored that not only like, wow, what's the ironic part? Would Trump's son put a video out that goes viral, and then Facebook took it off and it did like several million views. So she suddenly was getting thousands of views on her YouTube channels. But what are the odds of, you know, that? What's, I'm thinking in terms of what a journalist would like, what is the message in the medium with this whole thing? When you think about it,
there's some element of, call it guidance of the divine providence, something along those lines. I had Pierre Sabak on the show recently. He's done fantastic scholarly work, excuse me, on the etymology and the roots of certain words and how they're polymorphic and connect with similar meanings and similar words in other languages. And he did a lot of work in the Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. I mean, this guy really did his homework. And he's proven that the Watchers were essentially reptilians. And many of these, because he also made the connection between, in the old days, Eric von Daniken and people like him, it was just an emphasis on the chariots of the gods and the craft and Ezekiel's wheel. But he pointed out, in the ancient texts, they talk over and over about what he calls angelic sailors, the occupants of the vessels. So he made a clear distinction, a clear connection between the craft themselves, which was frequently referred to as boats, as celestial boats, essentially, and the sailors, the angelic alien sailors inside the craft. So according to the ancient texts, we're no longer just talking about wheels in the sky and signs and wonders. We're talking about occupants, aliens inside the craft who represent a host, an invading army. Okay. So just that point of mind. Secondly, if one were to go, at least in the old days, I don't know about now, but you go onto YouTube and look up deliverance ministries in Africa, for example, one will see and one will find numerous accounts from deliverance ministries in missionaries stations in Africa that all they've been doing in the recent past is exorcisms. They're saying that it's just crazy the amount of demonic entity possession that's going on in the continent of Africa. And then you will find other accounts of exorcists in Italy and elsewhere, and they're saying the same thing. There's an all-time spike and increase in demonic possession. And I would say, and he also pointed out, Pierre Sabbach, was if you go back to the original etymological roots of demon, daemon, it's not just spirit. It's referring particularly to these seraphic, angelic, reptilian host. Okay. So, so I really encourage people to plug into his work and to watch his interview on my show. So
I saw his interview on, and I was like, oh, that was so good because he was so right on.
Yes. Yes. And he talked about the creation of a third race, a hybrid race. Oh. It's all in there in the text. It's all in there in the ancient text. Wow. And the point of relevance to what you bring up, Evie, is I thought it was a delicious irony that these idiots, and it shows once again, they're not infallible. They're making mistakes left, right, and center. They thought they can peer into the background of Dr. Stella Emanuel and make her a laughingstock. Instead, by bringing out all these
people are doing more praying now as a result. And I'm thinking that ultimately this had a beneficial effect. I mean, people are always going to make fun of, you know, Christians, deliverance ministers. There's always this kind of stigma with, and I have seen this with clients where they have like a knee-jerk reaction against Christianity. And some may have a good reason behind it if they've been in families where they were like Southern Baptist or they were sexually abused by a pedophile priest or something. And they were, the religion did not serve them because of what I actually brought up before, which is the missing link of spiritual discernment, which is not happening in many Christian as well as other spiritual traditions, which I think goes back to the emotional intelligence, which could be further clarified, at least in my own work. One of the things that has helped, and I'm kind of steering the conversation a little bit away from, but I want to go back to that actually. But I wanted to bring up the point of how I understand trauma resolution when someone has gone through significant emotional, physical, sexual, spiritual trauma. And it could be just, you know, a bad childhood with a narcissistic parent or an alcoholic or sexual abuse or being in a cult or MK Ultra or alien abduction or whatever, or you had a sociopath parent or so you will develop a type of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which affects the nervous system in our brain and even how we think and how we regulate our own feelings and hormones. It seriously affects our biochemistry and our health and even the way we think and process our emotions. And it has to do with our adaptive or maladaptive response to trauma so that we survive physically as well as psychologically. And so, you know, long story short, there's four main types of trauma adaptation, which, you know, could span a plethora of personality disorders in the DSM, in the traditional psychology. Well, what I learned is that if we can understand it as you talked about the fight flight, which is the classic understanding of like stress when we combat, right? We go into the fight flight thing and it affects our sympathetic nervous system and our adrenaline is high and we're ready to like just be on alert and fight and protect ourselves. But really there's fight, flight, freeze, fawn. There's actually four main types of maladaptations to survival stress. And so the fight, flight is the one that we hear about more often where it's, you know, the fight and the, you know, being on guard and being more active in the way of fighting off and dissociating from the pain. But the freeze and fawn is something that's not really talked about that much in psychology circles, except for those who have realized that they've had the, what I call the codependent angle of the personality construct, which means that they've learned to fawn or chameleon like their responses to appease and people please in order as a response to basically conditional love by a parent who was a narcissist, more or less. So the codependents usually end up getting matched up with the more abusive narcissist, and it's like a complementary type of maladaptive relationship pattern, which over time will hurt the codependent very, very much. It could kill them, and the narcissist continues to be the narcissist, because the people who maintain the fight flight without doing their healing work will become narcissists or sociopaths or sometimes borderlines, whereas the freeze and the fawn people usually end up being codependents or people who are extreme isolators, you know, addicted to like computer games or fantasy where they're literally dissociated. So what I learned that the good news is that the people who tend to be codependent, let's say people pleasers, who they tended to be able to go to therapy more often because they were in more pain, because they were usually matched up with an abuser or a narcissist. So they usually wouldn't like go to marriage counseling, trying to drag in their partner and come to find out, you know, the partner never changes. They just manipulate the session and they eventually have to do their healing work, right? To realize, you know, the codependent part of the healing process is to no longer allow yourselves to be pulled in and abused by somebody who's a narcissist. So, you know, what I learned is that, wait a minute, so why is it that the people with the primary fight flight or the primary fight and freeze responses are the ones less likely to heal from their trauma and the ones less likely to desire and be willing to go the distance to do the work to recognize that they actually have a problem? And so what happens is that the narcissists are the ones who are the fight flight people who are basically blaming everybody else, and that they're superior and they lack the empathy and they blame everybody else for the problem and they try to control and manipulate everybody else while they dissociate and be obsessed with like workaholism or controlling people or just being bullies in relationships. And then the codependents usually take the shit, take the emotional garbage. They're the impasse and they, you know, try to like, oh, if I'm just good enough and if I just love this person enough, maybe they'll change. And they, you know, they try to be the perfectionistic, perfect husband or wife or partner and nothing changes until they die or until they get a serious illness and they realize that they have to change their way or they will die because the narcissist does not change. So long story short, the narcissists are the ones most likely to have a shitload of demons because of their unwillingness to deal with their shit. And I'm going to use profanity here so that, you know, I can make a point. It does go back to willingness to do the right thing and the willingness to be humble and the willingness to accept that you have some stuff of your own that you need to work on and that people need to reflect that upon, let's say, the narcissist. So that they could know that their behavior really does harm other people very, very, very much. Their neglect and their abuse harms people very much and manipulates people very much. But the codependent can also be harmful if they don't deal with their stuff and they continue on playing victim and doing their manipulation games. So we kind of talked about this in our toxic masculine and feminine panel where we kind of went into, you know, what contributes to what we call toxicity. But what I'm thinking here is, this just kind of came to me after studying a lot of the biblical stuff and hearing, you know, many YouTube videos on, you know, the Watchers, you know, and the fallen angels and how they, you know, hybridized and they created, you know, these hybrid races and how a lot of these like hybrid, we wouldn't heard about this in our studies, like the hybrid reptilians or the hybrid alien human hybrids and some of the stories that were the darker ones. Basically, some of these hybrids were very psychopathic and very narcissistic in their behaviors and in their controlling and manipulation and raping of the abductees who they were handling. Okay, so they're under the orders of whatever are the main alien handlers trying to basically get these hybrids to be acclimated to human life. But from some of the stories that you, I remember that you brought these out, James, at least two in particular, where they, you know, these two abductees talked about their experiences with some of the hybrids. And these aren't, these are probably not like Nephilim. They're probably like downgrades, right? Many, many downgrade hybrid types. But basically what you see is you see like a narcissistic personality disorder, psychopathic, sociopathic type of personality entity. And so, you know, it made me think like, wait a minute here. In one of my, well, books that I'm studying, but it also has to do with, as a therapist, when someone goes through trauma and they dissociate as a form of survival, which I'm not thinking that's a bad thing. It's a survival mechanism that's wired into the human. Many of us will have a type of dissociation. It could be flight dissociation or fight or freeze or fawn. And it's a way of, you know, when you're a child and you grew up under this environment or in a war-torn country, you have to adapt to survive. And so what happens is that we shut down the deep connection to the core heart and spirit that is holding the memories and these deep-seated feelings that's associated with the trauma. And some of these feelings are very, very horrible. It's like despair and betrayal and an extreme abandonment and hopelessness and rage and terror and everything awful you can think of. And there's a reason why people wouldn't want to feel these things, because if you felt the extent of that earthquake of feeling, it would kill the body, okay? Or make someone go into what you call a psychotic break, and they would no longer be able to maintain a personality identity. So, but what happens here is that there is a self-abandonment that takes place, the self-abandonment to the core essence of our being, which is actually very powerful and very sacred, which I would call our natural spirit, heart, natural original awareness, right? So if we self-abandon that and separate from that, it creates maladaptive personality styles. Or on the extreme end, it could create what we call like the sociopathic or the psychopathic narcissist with the false mask ego. Okay. So when we look at that personality disorder, and it's because of self-abandonment, right? And maybe some demonic stuff going on as well. And then in the Bible, they talk about how the original watchers, the fallen angels, they fell from their original state willingly. So they separated from their original state. And so what do they do when they come here, and how do they act? Like complete psychopaths. And then what do they want to do? Is they want to turn us into them, like a virus program, like AI, right? So it's like, well, gee, if they just traumatize us enough to force us to separate from our original beingness through self-abandonment, well, they can create more of them by traumatizing us on purpose, like these satanic bloodline families. That's just what they do. That's how they create their puppets of mind control, unless they buy them off, right? And so they've got all these mind-controlled slaves who are spirit self-abandoned, right? Like the watchers themselves. They've abandoned their original state. So the question is here is like, how can we return to the emotional intelligence of willingly having the purity of intention to reconnect to our original state, our original spiritual state, our original heart of wisdom, of goodness? And you have to have the willingness to do that, even if you don't know how, even if you think you can't do it or don't have the money for therapy, but just the desire to do that will, I think, return you to the natural state so that you can basically get out from the blindness and the lack of spiritual discernment that happens through the emotional intelligence being switched off as a result of self-abandonment. And so I think we're seeing mass self-abandonment going on as a result of trauma over the generations. And that's what the fallen angels did, but they did it willingly, which I find pretty amazing when you think about it. Like, why would anybody willingly want to separate from life force itself and goodness itself to come down to a hell world and then create more hell for everybody else? Like, to me, it's like complete insanity, but I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but that's just something that I felt like I had to say, because it was running through my mind about you know, the whole thing about self-abandonment is really the key issue why people continue with addictions and maladaptive behaviors and just hurting one another, you know?
And there's a collective aspect to that too, Evie. And what I liked about Dr. Stella Emanuel, just to get back to her for a second, was when they were trying to ridicule her about her beliefs and her knowledge of spiritual warfare and all your points about Christianity and the perceptions and perspectives about Christianity and the different denominations that people may have due to their own malign negative experiences with certain branches of Christianity, all that is taken into account. Some people have had horrific experiences with what passes for Christianity. But on the other hand, we've talked about this before, from a spiritual warrior perspective, I would rather stand side by side with a someone with a spiritual warfare mentality from the Christian perspective than a pacified New Ager, right? So when Dr. Stella Emanuel is saying, I'm the sword of God, you know, and she battles demons, she battles these incubi and succubi, and then she said, which I thought was beautiful, she said, when they were trying to ridicule her in an interview, oh, bring all these CNN news presenters here. I'll exorcise them. I'll get the demons out of them. They won't want to hear a word I say. She said words to that effect. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But essentially she was saying that the entire institution of CNN and the corporate media is entity demon infested, which it is. Well, when you consider that so many of them are perps and predators at the higher levels, and what they've liked to do for a long time, Evie, as you know, is they like to put people in front of us, whether in Hollywood, news presenters, sports, present them as being really goody-two-shoes individuals, really caring individuals, but they're really perps. And they make a big joke about it, really. To them, it's hilarious. So the point of relevance with the collective trauma is CNN, the politicians, the corporate media is this all-encompassing form of narcissistic abuse is what it is. It's a collective demiurge AI form of collective narcissistic abuse. I'm going to pause it for one moment, okay? Just had to pause there for a second. I muted. What I should have done was stop the recording. Okay.
That's okay. You must have listened.
Did you hear Connor laughing a lot in the background or what?
No, because I think you muted it, so I couldn't hear him. Was he laughing?
Oh, yeah, he was laughing at something. Okay, I'm just going to pause and continue going.
Yeah, but I didn't see that video where she was maybe defending herself from the more recent accusations. But I knew from what the video was that somebody had sent me from 2013. It was, you know, this really hardcore deliverance about the spirit husband, wives, incubus, succubus, which is something that is kind of a hush-hush taboo subject matter for people anyway, because it always deals with like sexual weird, you know, dream, astral, this or that. And so I'm sure, you know, she knows exactly what she's talking about. And I think, you know, traditionally the mainstream media wants to ridicule people who can speak on the more taboo subjects and really are talking the truth. They've done that to me for years when I'd get, you know, like a TV show invitation, and then they'd tell you what to say and they'd script it, and then they try to make it so that, you know, they make you look stupid, and they've been doing that for years. But it is true what you say about large scale psychological abuse and military psyops, as well as narcissistic abuse, large scale, that's being done on the population with this. And I think it's hard for people to see the totality of the, yes, let's see, the holistic whole picture, unless they had extensive background in understanding the multiple layers in which this is happening. And it's unfortunate, and I sometimes wonder why, although, you know, it took us 30 years, although I know people who've learned this in, you know, 5 to 10 years, and they got it quick. And it's usually because, like, the most powerful people, I think, are the ones who've been to hell and back, who've gone through serious trauma or tribulation, where they came back to a positive spiritual or psychological healing, where they come back to really help other people because they're living the example of basically going to hell and back. And the ones that I found that are helpful, even on the spiritual perspective, for example, because I've watched a lot of different, you know, deliverance ministers or shamans or this or that, but the ones who seemed to know it were the ones who were satanic priests or sorcerers through different satanic practices, like the John Ramirez of the Bronx in New York, who was with the Palo Mayombe, Puerto Rican satanic type of priest, and he grew up in a family. It was more like SRA, cult abuse. And then he turned to Christ. But what was interesting about some of his talks on YouTube, and it's not something that he almost does this unconsciously when he's talking on stage about his experience and he's doing his testimonial along with how he's learned, you know, scripture. And I'm not here to promote, you know, the Bible or anything. It's just that he will pop off these spiritual secrets that people don't realize, even like regular quote Christians. They don't get, like, you know, how the dark magicians operate in terms of the powers and the principalities and how they do the curses and how they're able to, like, take down powerful people who don't know how to spiritually protect themselves, and truth tellers, and how the targeting happens through a lot of black magic. And so it was not only John Ramirez, because he knew about the powers and the principalities and how they, you know, would astral project and go and curse certain neighborhood, or, you know, they're told to curse a certain person, and how they weren't able to kill or curse or do something because this person was like a powerful Christian and they couldn't get through with certain people who are like really filled with the Holy Spirit, for example. And then there's another one who I've been watching videos and I found it very helpful. It's Dr. Bill or William Schneblin, who was the one that I found out through Michael Ralph and the Mars Records when he did his original deliverance before he did his deprogramming with his late wife, Stephanie Ralph. He basically did deliverance first. And I think they met Bill Schneblin, and then his wife Stephanie at the time did like a 7-hour interview with Bill Schneblin about his, he was a satanic priest, he was a Catholic priest high up in the Mormons, you know, high up Freemasonry, met Lucifer in his castle, and he was like basically a vampire drinking blood at a certain point. And then, you know, Christians kept praying over him that he was didn't really know about, and he turned to Jesus Christ. And then, you know, the powerful spiritual warfare that happened as a result of turning back, and then, you know, breaking the curses from doing all that, but the curses from generations. And so he has some really powerful prayers on his website about, you know, how these things work and the powers of the principalities of the air, which is responsible for a lot of what's going on with the internet and with the media and with the AI that is operating on people's minds to entrain them to be controlled and manipulated by the delusions of the dark side. So I'm thinking, you know, people are being entrained by their cell phones and their computers, but also by the powers of the principalities of the air, as well as certain demonic and principalities in operation, and that people don't know how to separate themselves from those influences because they don't understand spiritual law. And that if we understood spiritual law, we can disentangle ourselves so that we could start to actually see and perceive things more clearly when we kind of step away. And it's almost as if I want to give a metaphor here, like if you're embroiled, let's say, in a dysfunctional relationship where you're, you know, married to a narcissist, or you had a love affair, or, you know, you were highly connected with a narcissistic person who over time is like completely mind controlling you and spinning around in confusion till you like kind of forget who you are, and you lose your identity, and you lose your health, you lose your finances, you lose your job. Pretty soon you like lose your whole self and you don't even know who you are, and you become extremely confused and you lose your discernment. So that's what happens when you're under long-term narcissistic abuse. And so one of the ways to regain your sense of discernment and to diffuse the confusion, which is deliberate force of illusion over you through mind control, is to separate yourself from the narcissist or the sources that are basically constantly coming at you. And if you could separate yourself enough from the narcissist or those forces, And even if you were lucky enough to have a compassionate person who you can be with to reflect upon how are you really feeling about what's going on and what has gone on, then you get a sense of who you are again. You recover yourself. And when you recover yourself, then you could see in hindsight, right? Hindsight is 20/20 vision. And you see in hindsight when you're separated from the narcissist, like, oh my God, I had no idea. How come I didn't see this? How come I couldn't see? How come I was so blind? Why could I not have discerned that this person was a total X, Y, and Z doing all these horrible things and everybody else could see it but me, you know? And so you have to have a period of separation from the source of the delusions. And then once you have that separation, then you can come back and you say, wow, now I see. And it's like a veil comes over your eyes when you're under the influence of narcissists. But also, I think the entrainment that happens through the mind interface with certain technologies, which I think is already taking place. And I think this has been taking place with my labs and abductees for years as a test population. When you have alien implants, for example, that they're already getting the telepathic, you know, instructions and the downloads and the, you know, the alien love bite stuff and how they're being manipulated and how, you know, their dreams, the stage managed dreams, all that stuff is being linked up to something artificial. If you ask me, or demonic.
We were the test pilots for all that. They did it on us first for the most part, and then they spread it out throughout society, and to the point now where it's not only if you do a Google search for a certain item, it's not only when you speak out loud, well, I'm thinking of buying a book about such and such, or I'm thinking of buying a ping pong table or like a, you know, a tennis racket. It's to the point now when people think about certain things. It's starting to show up in their news feeds in Facebook. It's starting to show up in their internet email box on the side panels. Yeah. Oh, the thing you were just thinking about, here are some items we'd like you to, you know, check out. So that's what you're talking about in action, basically.
Yeah, I've even noticed that with, I can notice these things personally with the computer on, as well as like I did these with my cell phone, for example. I had a bunch of things downloaded on there, like meditations, CD, MP3 files or whatever. And I used my cell phone one night so that I could listen to those. But I noticed that on the night that I had the cell phone closer to me, there was much more interference and dream hacking being closer to the cell phone as opposed to even the laptop. And then the more I removed those influences, the less interference I had in my consciousness. But I've known people who are, you know, super sensitive. They're like the canaries in the coal mine, like the super aware psychic people, where I think they weren't hooked up to the internet normally. I think they had an Ethernet connection instead of wireless, but it was some kind of story where they felt it as, because they usually turned off their internet at night so that it wouldn't come through their home, and that they felt it actually moving through their home and in their appliances and in their consciousness, and felt it telepathically trying to insert itself in their consciousness. So there's a consciousness of AI, and it is very computer-like and it is telepathic, and I've been very, very aware of it for years. So I know it's very, very real. It's a matter of, you know, how to not allow this to infect your own mind and identity so that you can go deeper into the core of your being, which is really the heart of compassion and goodness and more of a spacious awareness that is more left brain, I guess. Not left brain, I mean right brain. It would be more on that level, like trying to protect yourself from the hack. And, you know, I'm looking into finding ways, you know, how we can apply spiritual laws of, for example, you know, I do not consent. We let it be known to these, you know, Satanists or whoever they are that are telling us what they're doing before they're doing it in, let's say, the fine print of mortgage loan applications, or, you know, the accept of the terms and conditions of, you know, whatever online forums like Facebook, social media, oh, blah, blah, blah.
The predictive programming of movies like Outback.
Yeah, yeah.
They're talking about social distancing. They're talking about all this stuff years ago, right?
Like, how can you, like, this is what I did. It's like, you let it be known somehow verbally on your website. You speak it out loud to the universe. You do not consent to, let's say, the Vatican using your name and owning you as a commodity on the stock market, as them owning your soul. You stand firm, say, I do not consent. I am not under your authority. I'm under the authority of the Most High. I do not consent. And you have to let it be known that you do not consent. And if they try to do X, Y, and Z, then it's 1,000 times to their own self-destruction according to the laws of the Most High. And so it's like a notice of liability. You have to let it be known. You have a notice of liability that you do not consent to XYZ, whatever, including the masks, and just let it be known that you do not consent, and that, you know, if they try to force something on you, even they're flying monkeys, or not even aware of, you know, the orders they're following that end up hurting people in some cases, that they are liable. They are liable for all the destruction, all the ramifications of their orders they're following, like the brown shirts, for example. I mean, you might as well just call them, some of them, like Nazis. They're just blindly following orders because they're so easily manipulated to believe a lying narrative, you know? I mean, it's really annoying, you know, but I think we need to let it be known that we do not consent, so that we don't fall under that spiritual authority of the principality. Because there's a principality that owns you in a certain area unless you say no. You have to say no. That's what I believe.
Yes. Acquiescence is a tacit agreement to go along with it. And that's why it was so heartwarming to see like a million Berliners all protesting against all these restrictions and all these lockdowns. That was fantastic. And we need to see more of that worldwide. And as far as the ability, and this is a key point you made, Evie, about spiritual discernment, it starts with the first circle. It starts with us. And I'm addressing this particularly to those people, the people that we network with, not saying that we're all finished products, but we have a good idea of what we need to do in order to detach from that AI construct.
Yeah.
I think the next group of people that really need to make that break are those people that have gained a greater awareness about all this, especially in light of the COVID, especially in light of the communist insurrection that's breaking out all over the place. They're getting hammered from all sides by their peer group. They're getting hammered by their family on Facebook. They're getting hammered by their friends. They're getting hammered by their former schoolmates that they went to college and high school with. And if they really want to, and it's sometimes people feel their safety in numbers, Evie. If we really want to do that internal work, we cannot have our energy fields and our consciousness enmeshed with theirs. Now, if they want to, they can still be cordial on Facebook and keep them on and not put out things that trigger the hell out of everybody. But then again, it comes down to personal integrity, personal sovereignty, because they'll be limiting themselves to some degree were they to do that. So then you can play a double game. Okay, I'll have my own account here where I'll put out all truth, and you know, I'll add friends that are more in consonance with my line of thinking, and I'll keep this other Facebook group for my family and friends, so keep them happy and mollified.
Okay? Exactly. So it's like we have to. It's the same thing that we've had to do for years. Living the double life.
Those of us that had,
You know, these things with this people, but then you know, with these people, I can only talk about like the real shit. And so you kind of have, and I don't like having to do that. I find
me
that
inauthentic in a way.
Yeah. And it would be such a blessing to be able to just, you know, lay it on the line, you know, who I am, what I believe in, what I've been through. And this is what I'm going to be willing to deal with. And this is what I'm not going to be willing to deal with. But we're still always under the authority, even if it's our country or our government or our community or a job or a family member or a, you know, a financial thing, that it's hard to be completely independent, because it leaves you, you know, alone, and we can't do it all alone. I mean, it's very hard to do everything alone, but I would agree with you that we really want to heal and to cleanse our own environment. We have to not allow basically you know, the garbage in our yard and in our home. Like, so there has to be a way where we can keep our own bodies clean and keep our own homes clean and our own spiritual environment clean.
Our mental hygiene and our spiritual hygiene getting contaminated by all these people.
Yeah, it would be like, well, that's why I kind of like the Buddhists, you know, and how they would have like a monastery or whatever, and they have like these really strict rules, and it's totally like boring to probably live there because, you know, you wouldn't have a lot of loud music and you wouldn't have a lot of partying and you hopefully wouldn't have a lot of abusers and shit going on. But, you know, at least like with rules like that, you could, you know, you could have a more peaceful environment that would be free of constant abuse and manipulation. But sometimes you can't do that in your own home or community environment. You can't necessarily set the rules unless you own everything, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's a good point to leave this first segment with, the importance of detaching and getting in our own energetic, spiritual, mental space and not corrupted by other people's AI overlay attitudes and belief systems, BS for short, right? So we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with my friend Evie Lorgan. Evie, can you give people your website?
Okay. My website is evelorgan.com or alienlovebite.com. It's the same. And I can be reached every now and then on Alien Love Bite Facebook private page or Aveline Katharsky on Facebook. And then one note I would say about my books, I would encourage people, if they want a hard copy of either of my books, The Love Bite or The Dark Side of Cupid, to go through my website directly. You'll get a better deal for at least the hard copy of The Love Bite, because it's actually out of print, considered out of print. So it's priced quite high on Amazon and these other booksellers. So there's just a little note in there about book sales. Just go directly to me.
And we don't need to support Amazon and those other, you know, pedo-infested organizations anymore. Anyhow, we just ended up a fascinating first segment with Evie Lorgan. For our listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.